This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bree Rahm is the manager of grassroots advocacy and wind pack for the American Wind Energy Association. She works here in Virginia, and she joins us on the long line. Bree, happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, Coy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being with us. Tell us first, right up front, what is this organization and what do you do?
Sure. I'm with the American Wind Energy Association. We're the national trade group of America's wind energy industry. We have about 2,500 member companies, and that's everyone from developers, those who build the wind farms, to the manufacturers of wind turbines, and the manufacturers of the 8,000 components that go into a wind turbine. So we have the entire supply chain involved in our organization, and we represent them. We've been around since 1974, but as you can imagine, we've grown significantly over the last few years.
I'd imagine so, because building wind farms, this is like a hot new thing, isn't it?
I wouldn't say it's a hot new thing, but it's definitely grown exponentially the last few years. Currently, wind energy makes up over 25,000 megawatts, and a megawatt pretty much equates to about 250 homes. So each one of those turbines, which is about 1.7 megawatts, can run about 500 homes. So 25,000 is about 7 million homes that we're currently running in the United States.
And is this, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we've grown, obviously, the last few years. On average, the last few years, we've grown about 32%, I believe. And we're one of the fastest growing energies in the United States next to natural gas.
Yeah, we're talking with Bree Rahm of the American Wind Energy Association, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. How does it work, actually? I mean, tell us first, and I want you to feel free to talk at length. What is the how would it work here in Virginia specifically? Is Virginia a good place for a wind farm, and how much does it cost? And is this a viable thing for us to consider as a state?
Oh, absolutely. Right now, Virginia has its first wind farm that'll probably be coming online next couple years in Highland County. And BP has partnered with Dominion to look at putting wind farms in Tazewell County and Wise County as well. So there is some development in regards to wind farms going on in Virginia. Another great thing about the wind energy industry is that our manufacturing base is growing significantly. Over the last year, in 2008, we opened or expanded 55 new manufacturing facilities. There are currently 85,000 people employed in the wind energy industry, of which 35 of those jobs, those are brand new green jobs. They were 35,000 of those were created in 2008. So Virginia can also get a piece of that manufacturing job growth as well. And there is some discussion about offshore wind energy as well. In 2007, the Virginia legislature funded the Virginia Coastal Energy Resource Consortium, and they're looking at they're doing a feasibility study on putting a wind farm off the coast of Virginia. So there is definitely potential for Virginia, and there's a lot of growth going on in the United States. Texas, Iowa, Minnesota, and a few others are in the top five for wind energy development, but we currently have over 35 states that have some form of wind energy.
We're talking with Bree Rahm of the American Wind Energy Association. And Bree, forgive me, I'm ignorant. The turbines turn, and what do? They charge a battery? Is that how it works?
Oh, no. How wind energy works is the wind turns the blades, and which spins a shaft connected to a generator that makes electricity. And then those turbines start generating electricity when wind speeds reach around 7-8 miles per hour. Then the electricity is sent through transmission and distribution lines off to the consumers.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the wind farm off the coast. I have been told that those kind of things you wouldn't even see from the beach. You could just sit on the beach, and down at Virginia Beach, for example, you'll certainly see the ships, you know, queuing up to go in and out of the port, but you wouldn't see the propellers on the wind farm.
In some cases, that is correct, and it's because of the curvature of the Earth, and not getting too much into the weeds, but because of the curvature of the Earth, it's very hard to see them from the distances that they most likely will be put offshore.
Right.
So you have to be high enough in a tall enough building in order to maybe even see them, and again, that depends on how high up you are and how far off they are on the shore. There's a variety of factors.
Now, I heard,
but yes, it's very difficult to see them.
I heard Delaware is building an offshore wind farm. Tell us about that, and I guess the obvious question is, then why aren't we? I mean, if Delaware is doing one, then why not Virginia?
Good question. Why isn't Virginia? First of all, the United States does not have any offshore wind farms yet. Eight countries already do have wind farms. It's like Denmark, Belgium, Finland, Germany. Germany actually gets 20% of their electricity from wind energy.
Wow.
The United Kingdom, the Netherlands, Ireland. And also there's five more countries that are planning to do offshore projects by 2015. That's France, Italy, Norway, Poland, Spain. Now, why haven't we done it? Well, there's a variety of reasons, but probably the most important reason is... One, the state administration really trying to bring wind energy and offshore wind to their state, and the other issue is really the Department of Interior. It was only last month that the Department of Interior, the Minerals Management Service, issued rules about how you can build wind turbines off the coast. Off the coast, it's called the Outer Continental Shelf. That is owned by the federal government. So because offshore wind energy is so new and we haven't had to deal with it yet, they had to kind of come up with some standards and rules of, you know, how we're going to do this. And that only came out within the last month. So now we kind of know how to play the game. So I think you'll be seeing a lot more offshore wind off the coast of the east coast of the United States. In the next few years.
So the powers that be in Washington have never really taken it all that seriously to the extent to which we even have guidelines.
Yes, because it is so new. I mean, this is a very new industry. We are definitely behind where Europe is. Europe has had wind energy for the last couple of decades. In just the last few years, the United States has really started looking into long-term federal policies of bringing wind energy onto the grid and how we incorporate it, and also how we increase the amount of renewable energy that we use, specifically wind energy.
And you mentioned going into the grid. I have been told, and we're going to go to the phones here in just a minute, Carl and Jim, stay with us. I've been told that there's got to be some type of new grid to hook this wind energy to, or can we hook it up to the existing grid?
Well, we are hooking up to the existing grid. The 25,000 megawatts that we currently have are hooked up to the existing grid. But we, in order to grow even more, there is going to be a need for additional transmission. Now, the transmission, as we know it, our whole transmission grid, hasn't been updated in almost decades. So it needs an overhaul anyway. And our position is that, well, if you're going to redo the grid anyway, you might as well do it so that it benefits renewables instead of traditional fossil fuels. So really the thing is that it has to be done anyway, so let's do it so it benefits non-polluting energies. And that cost, really, when you look at what we will be saving by redoing the transmission grid so that it does benefit wind energy, we'll actually be saving money.
We're talking with Bree Rum. She's manager of Grassroots Advocacy and Wind PAC for the American Wind Energy Association. And the phone lines are open for your questions or comments at 977-1070. Carl, waiting very patiently on line two. Carl, thanks for the call. You're on with Bree Rum. Go right ahead.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And Bree, hello to you.
Hello.
I was a vendor in my former profession to a lot of the power companies' power generating sites. And I was just curious on how would those sites, if they were offshore, be secured? Because that is usually the power sites that I visited had a lot of guards and things were very secure conscious, particularly like the nuclear sites. What would they do about offshore air sites? How would they be secured in a time of, unfortunately, in a time of war or something like that?
How would they be secured? Well, the thing about wind energy is that, unlike maybe a nuclear plant, it doesn't have any adverse effects. So there's no radioactive waste afterwards. We don't have to really worry about, you know, anything along those lines. But offshore wind, what it would do, and some of the benefits, is that, one, it creates, like, recreational fishing. It's also energy security. It's displacing coal and nuclear and some other energies, maybe not nuclear. Nuclear is not polluting, but coal, fossil fuels that do pollute. So there's definitely a lot of environmental benefits to wind energy.
And you just have the threat, I guess, in a time of war, what you want to protect there is the threat to a power source, basically, but it's not going to pollute if it's damaged, if I understand you right.
That is correct, yeah.
And how does it create recreational fishing? Are fish attracted to these things?
Well, the bases of these offshore wind turbines can serve as artificial reefs, essentially. So it would be good for fishing. So you have a bunch of artificial reefs out in the ocean that are not there right now.
Yeah. We're talking with Bree Rahm with the American Wind Energy Association, and Jim is on line 3. Carl, thank you for the call. Let's go to Jim on 3. Jim, you're on with Bree Rahm. Go right ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I'm trying to get some idea. What is the, like, per unit, how does the development and production cost for this electricity compare with that of coal and nuclear?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand your question.
What are the production costs? When you compare this to like nuclear or coal, what are the production costs? Is that what you're asking,
right,
Jim?
Oh,
okay. Like, how much does it cost us to produce this energy versus other things that we're more familiar with?
Mm-hmm. Wind energy is cost competitive with other traditional or conventional energies that have been on the grid for decades and decades, and wind is now considered a mainstream electricity energy source, and it would not be so if it was not cost competitive.
So it's not astronomically cheaper; it's just a lot more environmentally friendly. If I hear you right.
Well, that's the benefit of it, but it is cost competitive even without the wonderful environmental benefits that it does provide.
Yeah, and that's actually, you have to factor that in. The greenness of it is actually going to save you some money in the long run, money you wouldn't have to spend if you're dealing with the waste from nuclear or coal.
That is correct.
Bree Rahm is, Jim, thank you for the call. We got a line open at 977-1070. We're talking with Bree Rahm of the American Wind Energy Association. So what's the word, like, behind the scenes when you wind people get together? I mean, what's the future look like? I mean, is this a very exciting time in your industry, or are there some real serious obstacles still before you?
It is a very exciting time. However, there are a few things that need to happen in order for renewable energy, and in my case, talking to about wind energy, is that we need a long-term signal from the federal government that this market is here to stay. We have what's called a production tax credit, and the difference between renewable energy and conventional energy, such as coal and nuclear and some of the others, is that they have for lack of a better word, tax benefits that are permanent in the tax code, and we do not. Right now, we are looking at a national renewable electricity standard. The House of Representatives recently passed a renewable electricity standard, and it's now going to go before the Senate, possibly in September. And the importance of a very strong national renewable electricity standard is that we need that to signal to all those manufacturers, all those people that want to develop wind farms that are just sitting on the sidelines waiting to hear from the government that this market is here to stay. And 38 states 38 countries already have some form of renewable electricity standard, including China. And either those jobs are going to go into the United States, those manufacturing jobs, or they're going to go to China. So we are hoping that Congress this year passes a very strong renewable electricity standard at the national level.
So if the wind energy industry gets this tax credit, it sort of puts them on par, in, you know, for lack of a better phrase, with coal and nuclear, and then we could start to see a lot more, you know, you see the wind farms go up, you start to see a lot more green jobs producing these turbines and this equipment.
Well, a national renewable electricity standard is not a tax credit. What it is it says that utilities have to use a certain percentage of renewable electricity by a certain year. And if that's right across the board, currently 29 states have them, but if it's right across the board nationally, what you're going to see is a lot more renewable energy, a lot more manufacturing jobs, and those are green jobs. We've been creating jobs, manufacturing jobs, while the U.S. is losing manufacturing jobs. Only our industry is the one that has kind of the great job method.
Yeah. Well, to me personally, that's one of the most exciting things about it. I'm all for the green stuff is fine, but to have to bring in these good new manufacturing jobs to a place like Virginia, that's what I find really exciting, because you know, if we make a commitment as a nation that we're going to have a certain percentage of wind power, those jobs are here to stay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bree Rahm is.
Yeah. We need a signal from the federal government this year that they're serious about renewable energy. They're serious about green job creation.
Bree Rahm is the manager of Grassroots Advocacy and Wind PAC for the American Wind Energy Association. She joins us live on Charlottesville Right Now. Bree, thanks for being with us. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.